tonight and proposed different paths for the Speaker that would have avoided the abject surrender represented by his strategic choice here. There's no other way to describe it. It's surrender. It's disappointing. I won't support it.
It's disappointing. It's completely detached from what our base wants, what our voters want.
The strategy is not to try. I think the strategy is to fall on his sword.
So when I asked Congressman Chip Roy about whether or not it was time for him to oust Mike Johnson from the speakership, he said that he went right up to the line, Dana, and didn't go across that line, perhaps because he needs to talk with the speaker, which is happening right now. Now, the question is, will the numbers add up to oust him from the speakership? Because Democrats, as you mentioned, could step in to save him because of what he's doing here on Ukraine. So this is a different situation than the fall when McCarthy was ousted from the speakership. But no doubt about it, Mike Johnson opening up a revolt on the far right with his conference, with this move here.
Yeah. I mean, we just saw it just right there, what you played for us. Manu, thanks so much. Always great to have you on.
Okay, we'll watch that. We see Senator Schumer at the podium right now, still silence in the room. Patty Murray is being handed some documents. A moment ago, you saw a bald gentleman go back and forth in the well. I don't believe it's not this guy. Maybe it is. That is the secretary for the majority, Gary Myrick, talking to the majority leader. Let us listen to Patty Murray.
The point of order is well taken and the article falls.
Madam President.
Majority Leader is recognized.
I raise a point of order that impeachment Article 2 does not allege conduct that rises to the level of a high crime or misdemeanor as required under Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution and is therefore unconstitutional.
Madam President.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies. Because we're going medieval on these people. Here's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome to the War Room. It's Natalie G. Winters hosting, filling in for Stephen K. Bannon today, Wednesday, April 17th. In the year of our Lord, 2024, in the words of CNN, House in revolt, if only we could actually have a revolution and overthrow Speaker Johnson. I don't know, sign me up, sign Steve up, sign the War Room posse up for that. The best we can get is just, what is it, another $100 billion to Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific. And oh, by the way, just to make sure, in case you didn't think your elites, your so-called betters, hate you, they made sure to throw in $300 million for Border Patrol in Ukraine, not in the United States. I think that's just to rub salt in the wound, to stick it to you, to stick it to the families, people like Lake and Riley, and all of these Americans who have been killed at the hands of illegal aliens. Frankly, when Chuck Schumer stands up there and says he doesn't think it's a high crime and misdemeanor what Mayorkas has done at the southern border, I think that right there is the quiet part out loud. They don't think he's done anything wrong because they don't believe in the sovereignty of this country. And frankly, they don't believe in borders or walls. They don't even think walls work. So it's no wonder why they don't want to have a trial in the Senate. They also probably don't want to have all the millions of taxpayer dollars, hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars that have been flowing to NGOs, shady government organizations, probably the Mexican government, and probably the cartels and the Chinese Communist Party that are helping this wide open southern border have a massive invasion and influx, not just of military fighting age men, but fentanyl too while you're at it, right? Well, I believe we have Kurt Mills to join us to break this all down. I know we had you scheduled, and as the hours got closer and closer to the show, there just became more and more things that we had to cover. Of course, the biggest news that we have since this morning's show. So we've got a new aid package. Speaker Johnson is really doubling down on it. It's, of course, has caused a bit of a rift in the conference. If you want to sort of walk us through just the asinine nature of this new $100 billion, like I said, in the beginning, for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific. That's how they're couching it.
Look, at core, this is the most important function of the federal government. This is something that the U.S. government can do. As a military, it can wield it or it can choose not to wield it. And there's, from my perspective as editor of a conservative magazine, our position has been it's just really no point in having a conservative Speaker of the House if you're going to pass out this massive aid package for a war that is lost in Eurasia, a war that is clearly being won in the Middle East, and for a potential coalition partner in the Indo-Pacific that is not meeting its military obligations. This makes no sense. It's very clear that the American people should have a referendum on this subject in the November elections, and Speaker Johnson should call Congress close for business on the matter.
I'm curious. I think you probably saw, and I'm sure the War Room posse has their heads, their pants, everything on fire over the nerve of Mike McCall. I would say the swamp epitomized someone who, what was it, peddled the Russia collusion hoax, but sure, lecture us on a foreign interference. He went after Senator J.D. Vance for daring to criticize the Repo Act, basically saying that we shouldn't tie President Trump's hands over what he can do in Ukraine and more broadly Europe by pushing deals that basically do just that, right? That sort of neuter and nullify his power as the president. Of course, the policies, as you were saying, the ideologies behind them, they don't work. This is a war that they're never going to win. We're just sending Ukrainian men who, what is it, average age, like 45, to die in Russian fire. But what are your thoughts on the voices like Mike McCall, who are just like a beating drum, will not let it go, will not stop with this incessant Ukraine? Is it defense contracting? Is it the lobbyists? What is the issue that is propelling these people to not give up on the Ukraine fight?
I think the critical, without going into the motivations particularly, I think the critical element here is essentially attention. I understand that the presidential race and even some of these big Senate races get all the attention. And this is something that I would urge your viewers, the War Room posse, to take a little bit more of a look at. Beneath the speakership, beneath the presidency, beneath the marquee Senate races, there are all these committee chairmen that you've never heard of. And I would challenge most people in the country have not heard of Mr. McCall, but this is one of the most influential people in the country as chairman of this committee. And the reality is, until there is a grander, more fights like this, a grander question, a grander narrative about why people like this can't wield authority, you're going to see a default to the type of thinking that has triumphed in this city since 2003, at minimum, if not longer. And it has only ruination and a appreciation of American power, the depreciation of American power to show for it.
And can you sort of extrapolate this on the Israeli front and even the Indo-Pacific front? Of course, they put this in, and I believe they also concurrently introduced a border security measure. But just how they're sort of playing games with these priorities, kind of, I always call it red meat for the base, but trying to string us along with these little shiny toys, as Steve always says. But walk us through the Israel side of this package as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Israel thing's very confusing, and I think even among the ranks of conservatives, there's this agreement. Conservative skepticals of foreign wars are divided on the Israel quotient to it. From my perspective, I think it's pretty simple. Why do we need a military aid package for a war that's not going to change out in Eastern Europe? And why do we need a military aid package for a war that the Israelis are already winning? The controversy over the war in the Middle East is not whether or not Israel is going to deal with Hamas. It's whether or not that they're dealing with them too brutally. And so at the same time that that's the question, our solution is to throw the military technology that they don't need. I mean, actually, the Ukrainians do need it. It's just that our perpetuation of the war is going to be net bad for, you know, the Ukrainian people and for humanity, quite frankly. And on Taiwan, since you asked specifically, if Taiwan is not willing to meet its own defense needs, it's not clear why the U.S. should throw an expenditure this way that is merely provocative to the Chinese and invites this invasion sooner. If the Taiwanese meet their defense needs, I think we can have a conversation then.
Well, sorry, I was having some audio difficulties, but When you say, you know, you don't want to necessarily get into what is the driving factors behind a lot of these politicians, I mean, I think the War Room posse is fairly familiar with people like Mike McCall. I know Steve is always lighting them up. But I'm just curious in the sense that, you know, whether it's Israel, whether it's Taiwan, whether it's, you know, insert the country, the ability to put America first is just lost on members of Congress. And of course, you have the rank and file members. You have a few people, right, like the Matt Gaetzes of the world, who are willing to actually do that. They've said they will challenge in primary those who vote for additional Ukraine spending. But you run American Conservative. I'm just curious, could you drill down a little bit on what you think are sort of the motivating factors behind why these people just refuse to put America first? I know that's sort of a cliche, dumbed down way of saying it, but what creates Mike McCall? Is he a feature of the system? Is he a bug of the system? Why are there so many people like him? And why does it seem so hard to find actual America First conservatives who are willing to fight for the issues and do the things they were actually elected to do?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to comment on the structural things. I didn't mean to dodge your question, Natalie. I just think the reality...
No, you're good.
Take someone more famous, Mr. Johnson. The reality is, if he dies, if he falls on his sword, so to speak, here, if his speakership dies, and he will have done it on the Ukraine issue, the likelihood of corporate board seats in Fortune 500 companies and defense contractors that ring Northern Virginia offering him slots, i.e., the Nikki Haley option, is just way higher. So, yes, I think there have to be remunerative considerations. Now, I'm not arguing that money is exchanging hands now, but there's no effective legislation or controls on people making policy decisions based on things in the future. And I don't really know what the check on it would be. You could create a 5-year lobbying ban, a 1-year lobbying ban, a 10-year lobbying ban. I think you always find loopholes here. And that's why it's important for in a democracy for people to hold the leaders to account. That's the swiftest failsafe. In terms of foreign theaters and certain members, frankly, lust to get involved in them. I do think there's something almost psychological going on where they get to have these sort of nationalist impulses for a foreign country where they're afraid to show that, impulse here at home, which is a shame considering, I mean, the country is actually suffering what could be termed an invasion on the southern border.
So in your estimation, obviously, you follow this stuff quite closely. The American conservative is always ahead of the curve. How do you think this is going to shake out, particularly on the Speaker Johnson front? Do you think we're going to see the motion to vacate? We know Tom Emmer's already sort of potentially putting his hat in the ring. Just again, hypothetically, how do you think it'll shake out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how this passes and Speaker Johnson survives without at least a few Democratic votes. And if he takes Democratic votes, then the speakership will be terminal after the election. I think it would be a sad statement on a sad coda, frankly, on his career as a conservative and Republican lawmaker and activist to accept Democratic support to maintain his speakership. So it's possible he resigns. I mean, it does feel like everyone's sort of fatigued and wants to have this election. And so potentially his chances of survival are higher than McCarthy's were in autumn. But I don't think they're certain by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't think, there are 220-odd Republican lawmakers there, and the speakership itself is famously not closed to almost any American. We can't find somebody who can keep this conference together. It would be quite pathetic.
And Kurt, we've got to let you go, but if people want to follow you and get American Conservative, where can they go to do all that and support the magazine?
Sure. www.theamericanconservative.com. You can read my tweets at Kurt Mills, C-U-R-T-M-I-L-L-S. We have a new issue out all about Ohio, some of the names, Vivek Ramaswamy, J.D. Vance, people at the leading edge of opposing this stuff. So please give us your consideration.
You guys do great work. Kurt, thank you so much for joining us. Warren Posse, we've got a packed show. We're going to open the next block with, I guess, what your future could look like if Joe Biden wins again, steals it again. It's an audio recording that John Eastman received from Bank of America in live, I guess, real time, getting debanked by Bank of America for, you guessed it, daring to support President Donald J. Trump, daring to put America first. You've seen the fate that similar patriots have suffered. I don't need to look too far, just to Miami. Peter Navarro, good example. Warren Posse, we'll be playing that right after this short 90-second break. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold, and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898.
If you have recently received a letter stating your account or accounts are being closed, the reason for this is that Bank of America made a business decision to close the account, and or we have determined you're operating in a business type we have chosen not to service at Bank of America. It is a Bank of America policy that we do not provide any additional information regarding our decision to close an account, and the decision to close the account will not be reconsidered.
That should be a campaign ad maybe for Joe Biden or any of the World Economic Forum, UN, WHO, global elites who want to use social credit scores styled after, of course, the Biden family business partner, the Chinese Communist Party. I actually think it was Hunter Biden who was invested in one of the companies who was involved in that space because, of course. Joining me now to break down that call and so much more is the reporter from the Daily Caller who actually broke it, Reagan Reese. Reagan, thank you for joining us. If you want to walk the audience through what they just heard, why it's so scary, and frankly, why it might happen to them soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, Natalie, this debanking trend, this appears to be the new front of Democratic lawfare. So to break it down, John Eastman was first notified in September 2023 that his Bank of America account was going to be closed and that they could not provide him any details on why they were choosing to do so. They said, if you want more details, feel free to give us a call. When he goes to give them a call, there's that audio. They say, hey, actually, it's our policy that we can't tell you anything else. And this was after he had been in business with Bank of America for about 40 years. Well, 2 months later, USAA, you know, that company that's famously known for banking with military families and insuring military families, also moved to close his account without any details provided. We went to Bank of America and USAA after we had obtained the letters from John Eastman confirming that his accounts had been closed without warning. Bank of America, you know, initially said, hey, we're going to give you a comment by your deadline. We provided them 2 days to do so and to get back to us. And then about an hour before my deadline, they got back to me and said, you know, actually, we don't comment on client matters. USAA never responded to me. I followed up 3 times. And, you know, I even followed up once more after my deadline had passed to be like, hey, this is the last time I'm going to follow up. Are you sure you don't want to provide any sort of comment? And so that's where it stands. John Eastman was about, you know, when I talked to him, 99% confident that this was political retaliation after everything he's been through, after he, you know, provided legal advice to President Trump in wake of the 2020 election. This was just another bump in the road for him that he just saw as another way for the left to attack him.
I want to take a step back because I think you're right to make this story bigger, right, than just John Eastman, in the sense that this is what they want to do to the entire MAGA movement, right? They're not just going after President Trump. They're going after, frankly, everyone. But can you give us maybe some other high profile stories of similar kind of debanking attacks, lawfare attacks, as you have said, against other high profile kind of MAGA movement members?
Yeah, so I spoke to the Foundation of Government Accountability, and they told me that they have seen this with a lot of Christian groups, actually, in Christian nonprofits who have been debanked and haven't been given a reason. Bank of America, they pointed to, is actually known for kind of doing this to Americans. They just consistently pointed to Christian groups who this had happened to. You know, it's dangerous because when Americans' bank accounts are closed without any reason and they lose access to their finances and they're not able to feed their families or pay their bills, and there might be just even the slightest indication, even if the bank maybe doesn't provide a reason, but there's that thought in their mind that maybe this is political, that has such a chilling effect, Natalie. Americans will become concerned that maybe they shouldn't speak out about their beliefs, their faith, and who they are, out of risk that they might, you know, lose their relationship with the bank. And a lot of people don't have much of a choice to switch banks. It might just be the bank that's the closest down the road. That might be Bank of America, and you might be at risk.
Reagan, if people want to listen to the audio again, read more of your wonderful reporting, I think we had you on the show most recently, you exposed the, I believe it was the NRCC, with the same tenacity that you went after USAA and Bank of America. If people want to follow you and stay up to date with your reporting, where can they go to do all that?
Well, Natalie, let me tell you, there's more reporting coming that I think you guys are going to enjoy. But Reagan Reese _ at Twitter, and it's the same thing on Instagram. And I'm the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller, dailycaller.com. We're doing some great reporting, you know, giving you all the details on the political landscape today.
Reagan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, you guys have heard a tale of two presidents when we juxtapose President Trump meeting with the family of the slain officer. Meanwhile, you got Joe Biden holding some hoity-toity fundraiser in Wall Street with a bunch of, frankly, presidents who actually should be sitting and rotting in jail, if not just for treason, but for a host of other crimes that we'll do a War Room special on one day. But I just want to draw a tale of two cities, or maybe another juxtaposition, a tale of two leaders. President Trump and Zelensky. Now, Zelensky's not much of a leader, but when you think about what is going on in the city of New York when it comes to the fine-toothed comb and then some that they are going through President Trump's finances with, what they could only really find was a marginal, what was it, tax accounting error, one little thing maybe. Meanwhile, Zelensky's getting, what is it, hundreds of billions of your taxpayer dollars, and they can't even conduct a meaningful audit of any of those dollars, any of those pennies. One single cent. Remember, it was the White House just last year, I believe it was in October, when they were fretting because Americans were daring to actually push back on their bogus narratives about supporting the Ukraine war. Instead of doubling down and saying, hey, we want to convince the American people that investing in what is going on in Ukraine is worth it, democracy actually matters. You know what they did? The new spin was, it wasn't let's conduct meaningful audits. It was let's lie to the American people that the Ukraine war is good for manufacturing jobs here at home, that it's good for Made in America policies, and that it's good for strengthening our industrial base. You know what's good for strengthening our industrial base, Joe Biden? Banning the Chinese Communist Party from owning land and farmland here in the United States. They speak out of both sides of their mouth to the point that even Speaker Mike Johnson put out a tweet, what was it, 2 hours ago, slamming Senate Democrats for refusing to hold a trial against Mayorkas. They said, you are supporting, you are co-signing Joe Biden's border crisis. Well, newsflash, Mike Johnson, Joe Biden just signed off on your Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel aid bill. So the same president who's comfortable destroying this country by allowing an invasion at the southern border, if he's supporting your foreign policy, something tells me something is not right there. That's not America first. That's not putting American citizens first. It's certainly not putting America first, and it's certainly not putting American interests first. So Joe Biden endorsing your Ukraine aid bill, yeah, that means absolutely nothing. Steve told me I had to give Speaker Johnson some fire since he couldn't be hosting today, so I try my best. Someone who, of course, is always bringing the fire over an American moment is, of course, Saurabh Sharma. Although, from what I understand, you guys are trying to bring the fire over there in Brussels, but the police forces don't want you to, if I'm not mistaken. Can you walk? Actually, you know what? I believe we have a clip. If Denver has it, let's play that, and then I want you to kind of walk us through what we just watched.
NatCon Brussels 2 under siege by Belgian police. We have had our conference going since this morning. The first venue was canceled, was forced to cancel by leftist political pressure. The second venue, 20 hours before the event, pull out of a signed contract. Now we're in the third venue. The police showed up with an order saying that we are creating a public disturbance. What we have here is 400 people in a venue holding a conference. People are speaking about topics, political, philosophical, historical. We have 50 of the leading conservative speakers from across Europe here, all of them gathering, prime ministers, foreign prime ministers, ministers, a cardinal.
Wild times. Talk about debanking, deplatforming. I feel like the progenitor of all of that was the, you know, conservatives getting kicked off of college campuses here in the United States, but it sort of reached, I guess, its logical conclusion. Saurabh, can you walk us through this event, what's going on, and why they want to shut you down so badly?
Absolutely, Natalie. And it's funny you make that analogy. It's exactly what I said as the conference was going on. I thought my days of having speeches and conferences canceled were over because I wasn't on a college campus anymore. But it was a throwback to 6-7 years when I was at the University of Texas at Austin. So I'll walk you through it really basically. I'm the executive director of Edmund Burke Foundation, which puts on national conservatism conferences in the United States and Europe, in addition to being president of American Moment. And we were about to host a conference in Brussels. So this was going to be our second conference there after a couple of years. And the framework was that Europe is about to go into elections in early June that will determine whether or not it will continue to be a continent of independent nations charting their own history or this totalitarian NGOcracy hosted in Brussels. And so that was the framework of the conference. The subtitle was Preserving the Nation State in Europe. A couple days ago, we got a notification that the first venue that we had been booked for months to have this conference at, Concert Nobel, right across the street from the European Parliament, was pulling out of the conference. And we were completely shocked by this. We'd hosted a conference there successfully before, completely blindsided us. We eventually, over the course of the weekend, found a second venue, the Sofitel in Europe, to host this conference. And we thought, okay, you know, it'll be a little disruptive, but what we figured it out, everything's going to be fine. Then Monday night, the day before the conference, the Sofitel also pulls out. And then we realized
so
that there's something
Rob,
quite fishy going on here.
We've got to cut to a break, so I want to leave the audience hanging on that. It's a very good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It's planned perfectly, like out of a Hollywood, what is it, film room? That's what Steve always says. War Room Posse. We will be back after this break. In the meantime, maybe go check out birchgold.com/Bannon. I guarantee you they will never debank you for watching this show, for not having taken the COVID vaccine, you name it. Birchgold.com/Bannon. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, We don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome back to the War Room. It's still Natalie G. Winters hosting. We still got Saurabh Sharma from American Moment and so much more. I believe the Edmund Burke Foundation as well. Joining us, we had to cut because of the break, but you were just getting to the third part of your story. It's sort of like, what is it, Goldilocks? Except instead of it being too hot, too cold, they were just like, oh, you guys are too radical. You're way too radical. But apparently the third venue, it was just right until the police came and stopped a lot of your speakers from coming in. You can pick up where you left off.
Sure. So we finally get this very last second venue in Brussels to host a conservative conference about the nation state. And I am on stage chairing a panel Tuesday afternoon. It's right around noon. The conference has only been going on for 2 or 3 hours. And my colleagues start texting me that the police are on their way to shut the event down. And that's when we realized what was actually going on. The mayor of Brussels had made it his goal to shut down this event, the socialist mayor. And the police came. They sent three cops. They sort of stood outside and said the event is canceled for a little bit. Then they came in. They saw the big crowd. They saw the cameras and they got spooked and they went back outside and they decided to play a game of attrition with us. They said, okay, we can't actually shut this event down. We're not interested in frog marching 400, you know, nice people in suits and dresses out of this conference. So if you leave, you can't come back in. So we're basically holding you hostage. I started calling it the Brussels hostage crisis. And the funny thing is that we didn't have lunch, but everyone wanted to stay all the way through the event. We were trying to smuggle cardinals and members of European Parliament into the building. They somehow made it in. So I guess they found a way around the police. But, you know, Eric Zemmour, former presidential candidate in France, was prevented from entering the venue, but we continued to have the conference all through the end of the day. And late that night, a Brussels court actually ruled against the mayor of Brussels and said that this was completely unconstitutional and they had to allow the conference to happen. So we, just a couple hours ago, wrapped up one of the most important conservative conferences Europe has ever had, undeterred by this tyrannical Brussels government, four separate attempts to cancel us. And look, the Streisand effect is real. A lot more eyeballs were on this event than they would have liked. Four prime ministers had to step in and say that this is absurd. So I don't think the Brussels mayor exactly got what he wanted. The message of national conservatism is spreading much further and much wider because of what he did.
I think there's a lot of metaphorical significance with what went on. Of course, Brussels, what is that? The city of the global elite, right? It's almost as bad as Davos, I would probably say. Although I guess you guys are the counterculture Davos now. I think you solidified that with the police literally trying to shut you down. But I'm just curious. Obviously, they're trying to quash, or at least it seems like at any meaningful substantive discussions of the importance of the, you know, Westphalian nation state. But it seems sort of interesting. Meanwhile, they're pushing day after day after day, of course, that are not actually supporting it financially, but the importance of Ukraine's borders and Ukraine's sovereignty and their territorial integrity. But when we want to have it for other countries, right, it's sort of a moot point. You aren't allowed to go there. If you want to maybe kind of read the audience in on a little bit of what you guys talked about, you know, who was there in terms of different European countries, the sort of globalist or anti-globalist, rather, coalition that I know Steve has had an intimate hand in building, but how it's burgeoning and how it really is rising up, so much so that they're having to deploy police forces to put it down.
Absolutely. So a couple of months ago, The Economist had as their front cover for the magazine. And I remember Steve texted me at the time and was so pleased with it. It was a MAGA hat, but instead of saying make America great again, it was a laundry list of countries that have all had these nationalist populist revolutions. So it said Hungary, Italy, France, the United Kingdom, El Salvador. And it was basically all of the places where conservative patriots with nationalist instincts have actually found a foothold in power. And this is what the left is most afraid of. They were always globalists and deeply connected with each other. And I think the mistake that many conservatives made for a few decades is they assumed that you had to be a globalist in order to be connected with fellow conservative patriots across the world. That's obviously not true, as we've realized in the last few years. Steve was a trailblazer on this. National conservatism conferences have been trailblazers in this space. And so when they see conservatives uniting across nations with, you know, maybe some minor disagreements between them, but showing a consolidated force against the global left, they get very afraid. Obviously, they have their boogeymen. You know, they really don't like Viktor Orban because he's pro-peace and believes that sending hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians and Russians into the meat grinder is not exactly in Europe's best interest. They really don't like Nigel Farage because he is basically the biggest threat to Brussels that's ever existed in one person. They don't like Eric Zemmour because he believes in sovereignty and French identity. They really did not like most of these speakers at this conference. So I don't blame them for being upset. It's just more evidence than ever that when European elites preach about liberal democracy and tolerance, liberal democracy means they win and you lose. And so we really shouldn't listen to their bleating about liberal democracy. And we certainly shouldn't take them seriously when they call us fascists anymore.
I want to link this to what is going on here at home, specifically with the Democrat-controlled Senate deciding to not hold a trial against Mayorkas. I believe all Democrats voted it down in the beginning. Murkowski voted present. Then she later switched to a no. So I guess another day the rhinos in the Senate will live without facing the phone call fury and wrath and fire of the War Room posse. But it's the issue of immigration that I've always said the American people are the most gaslit on. It's the issue that I think the elites lie to us the most on. And they get really, really upset about it when you dare to say the words sovereignty, borders, nation state, right? Rejecting the idea of a global government. I never elected a global governor, right? It's ridiculous stuff. But I'm just curious your thoughts more from maybe the American moment perspective on just the Senate's refusal to hold a trial against Mayorkas when they say what he's doing at the southern border, it's not a high crime and misdemeanor.
It's utterly absurd. I think that if this level of dereliction of duty is not impeachable and not worthy of a Senate trial, then nothing is. We may as well pack it up. There is no cabinet. We are run by the deep state. Mayorkas' subversion of the American people and their interests is one of the greatest crimes committed against the American people ever. You know, our friend Raheem Kassam, he said for years that if a Democrat won in 2020, that they would bring 10 million migrants across the border. And people said he's crazy, that he's absurd. Well, they're on pace for something like that. It's an insane, insane invasion at our southern border. And immigration really is the galvanizing and the uniting issue for conservative patriots across the world. It is the same fight. They're trying to bring millions of people into the United Kingdom. They're trying to bring millions of people into France. They're trying to bring millions of people into Germany. Part of the reason they hate Hungary and Poland so much is because they said no to bringing millions of people in. And now the greatest natural experiment in European history is going to play out. How did the countries that said no to mass migration fare? And how did the ones that said yes fare? And I think the truth is simple. The ones that allowed tens of millions of unvetted Muslim migrants from the third world to come into their nations aren't going to exist as European nations in two, three, four decades. And the ones that chose a different path will continue to exist. And that's why we have to keep fighting on this immigration issue in the United States, because as bad as the situation is in the U.S., it can get a lot worse. Coming through Europe is proof of that. You see how it's unrecognizable. So we can never let up on the rhinos and the left that keep on trying to make compromises on this issue, especially senators. There's something about them, especially Republican senators. You turn your back for 30 seconds on them and they cooked up a new amnesty proposal. We can't let it happen.
Yeah, spare me the comprehensive immigration reform and root causes talk, right? I've heard that one
scariest
too many
words
times
in the English language.
No, seriously, they actually are. Sarab, let people know a little bit about American Moment before you go, and of course the show that you co-host, but why, from a personnel perspective, we know personnel is policy, how you guys are really working to make sure that ahead of Trump's impending victory that we have no deep state bureaucrats who are going to speak in, you know, root causes and comprehensive immigration and amnesty speak. They're going to speak in mass deportation. Take that, deep state. Just walk us through a little bit what you guys do at American Moment.
Absolutely. So one of my hats is I'm the president of American Moment. We were founded right after the 2020 election, and the goal was simple. Make sure what happened to President Trump never happens again. He did not have a cadre of a couple thousand patriots that would go into the administration that were competent and would help enact his agenda. That can never happen again. He needs the people to help implement his agenda. A president only has so many hours in the day. They hire 4,000 to 5,000 people to help implement their will, to manage 2.2 million federal bureaucrats. It's our job to help find those 4,000 to 5,000 people, highly competent, talented, capable, young and mid-level people. That's what we specialize in, to go work in the future administration, to go work in congressional offices, to go work in public policy organizations in DC. We ruthlessly select for only a young talent that has an America First worldview, and we white glove service them into being as influential, getting them promoted as quickly as humanly possible, because we don't have a lot of time. And we've had a lot of success in the last 3 years. If you're a young person or you know a young person that wants to get involved, it's not enough to sit on your couch and watch podcasts and YouTube videos all day. You actually have to get involved. We've had a lot of young people from the War Room Posse come through our program. So we're always grateful to get connected with you and find out how we can help. So that's what we do at American Moment. And then National Conservatism Conferences are the convening ground for the thinkers in this movement. Will be hosting one in the summer in the U.S. And so stay tuned for that once we have more details.
Sarab, thank you so much for joining us, for invoking a little bit of Raheem Kassam and triggering me by saying amnesty. You definitely got to come back soon. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Have a good
Thanks,
one.
Natalie.
I think we have Michael Seifert from, of course, Public Square joining us. Now, I thought you'd be a perfect person to have on. We had an earlier segment on the show about debanking, the plague that seems to be affecting everyone who's just even slightly adjacent to MAGA. Of course, John Eastman, we actually listened to the audio, the phone call of Bank of America telling him that they were no longer going to be servicing him. You obviously lead what I would say is sort of the counterculture movement. To that, I would love to just get your thoughts on that, and really how much of a society-wide, you could even almost argue, whole of government approach that debanking has become, not just for the left, but for the establishment.
Well, and I would take it one step farther, Natalie, which is this is a plague that is not only inflicting pain upon American leaders. This is a global problem as well. You see international banks that have stifled proponents of free speech. And in the United States specifically, obviously, it seems like MAGA is sort of the litmus test. If you have at all ever been seen as adjacent to this America First MAGA movement, you are an object of the left and the progressive authoritarians in our financial sector's desire to debank. In any authoritarian society over the course of the past 150 years, the first thing that the communists have sought to do is strip away your economic access. It is your most important freedom. If you do not have the ability to transact in a free economy, you cannot provide food for your family. You cannot secure your financial future. You cannot make sure that you establish stability under all of the facets of your daily life. And that is the very thing they want to remove from the patriots in this country, like John Eastman, that have had any level of proximity to the former president and the broader MAGA movement or the anti-globalist movement on the international scale. Natalie, I remember last year when Nigel Farage was actually debanked by his bank. The authoritarians have made it clear they do not want you to be able to express your voice if it rebukes the narrative of the regime. The regime has made it clear that they want globalism. They want a stifling of personal expression and individualism on a broad societal basis. And if you dare poke the bear, they will make sure that you have your financial freedom robbed. We obviously exist as a platform to help people find their financial freedom in their consumer purchases and in their banking. This is yet another reminder of why we need to continue fighting.
And Michael, I'll hold you through the break because I want to get your thoughts on what's going on when it comes to even more hundreds of billions of dollars going to Ukraine. While most companies, the Chamber of Commerce, are supporting it because they're profiting off of it, of course, Public Square isn't. We will be right back after this break with Michael Seifert.
Now that we are launching into the general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a very special offer, just in case you haven't made the switch to Patriot Mobile today. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service. That's a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need to do is stop procrastinating and go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon. That's patriotmobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's patriotmobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the progressive left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message, just like you all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. The Patriot Mobile team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Remember, Patriot Mobile has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Get your free month of service and get it today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. For the free month of service, put in the code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. SPRING24. When you make the switch, you get the free month. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. We're always proud to be a home of patriotic companies that will never debank you, never deplatform you. They'll probably support you even more if you, I would say, hold the War Room line. Make sure you go to birchgold.com/Bannon. I think there's a new installment of the end of the dollar empire coming out because Joe Biden's president and we're probably inching even closer. Who knows? But you got to get your latest copy of that. Give Philip Patrick a call. You know, he can only come on the Saturday shows because he's so busy fielding all his calls from you. I'm sure he maybe feels similar pain to Kevin McCarthy when you guys were really piling into him, though something tells me Mike Johnson might be feeling a similar fire and fury from the War Room posse soon enough. Before I let you go, Michael, I have a question for you. A lot of my background as an investigative reporter had to do with sort of these kind of funny conflicts of interest that a lot of people who were pushing for more Ukraine aid had with, well, the Ukraine aid packages, whether it was themselves, their spouses, their children working for companies that were really receiving a financial boon when more billions or probably soon enough trillions of dollars were going to Ukraine. And the Chamber of Commerce, they have these special lobbying groups, right, that always push for more Ukraine aid. And you guys, whether the issue's immigration, Ukraine aid, mask mandates, big pharma stuff, you guys always sort of stand alone and that you never join in on that chorus of corporations who benefit from policies that not just deprive us of our civil liberties, but are actively bad for America, though realistically that's probably why they support it. I'm just curious your thoughts on the latest installment of yet another $100 billion is all the issues we're facing here at home for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, you name it, what your thoughts are on really Congress's just willingness to put America last.
Well, honestly, I'm disappointed today. More than anything, I feel frustrated and dejected. It seems like no matter how many times the America First movement, which is the bulk of the conservative base, by the way, petitions our leaders to actually represent our interests. They continue to let us down time and time again. The American people do not want more aid for Ukraine or any other foreign country while we are currently being invaded. And so when you see our southern border flooded with millions of illegal migrants coming across and taking our jobs, in many cases committing heinous crimes, all while our government turns a blind eye, and then that same government goes and utilizes our hard-earned tax dollars to fund foreign nations in their disputes that have no actual day-to-day impact on our day-to-day lives, it's incredibly infuriating. And then you mention not only our elected officials having problems continually being on the wrong side of this issue, they're not listening to us, but we also have these bureaucratic, unelected entities that are doing the same thing. You have entities like the Chamber of Commerce that were designated to support the interests of the American business community, backing bills that provide mass amnesty for illegal immigrants. Meanwhile, the actual small businesses that they are supposed to be representing are getting harmed by the wage effects that come with mass illegal immigration. Small businesses do not favor illegal immigration because only the mega corporate entities that hire these illegal immigrants and cause really disastrous wage problems and completely stifle the competitive environment for a small business. Those are the only entities that actually profit off of this. So the Chamber of Commerce, Congress, the mega financial institutions that are beholden to an ESG agenda continually side with the globalists instead of the American people and the America First movement more broadly. It's infuriating. My hope, though, Natalie, is that in all of this, with the incredible War Room posse, with our millions of consumers and awakened consumers that are recognizing that their vote takes place not only at the ballot box, but also with their wallets, hopefully we can push back against this and support the types of businesses that you can find on Public Square and the sponsors of your show and many others that will vocally protest these types of actions like we're seeing out of Congress today. I hope that this bill fails. I hope that Speaker Johnson hears a loud and clear message that Americans are ready to prioritize Americans. And that not only includes the individuals that make up this beautiful country, the citizens of this country, but also the small businesses that represent the interests of Main Street. We are well past due for that type of action from those that are supposed to represent us.
Michael, if people want to follow you or get on the Public Square platform, either as a consumer or a business, hit us one more time where they can go to do all that.
Well, if you're a consumer and you want to shop from the largest marketplace of America First businesses in the country, head to publicsquare.com. We have 80,000 business vendors selling millions of products that would love to serve you. They've all agreed with our values statement. They love the country, the Constitution, and the values that that wonderful document protects, and they would love to serve you quality products and services. And if you are a business, you can join there for free and save Main Street with the power of the parallel economy.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to see you, Natalie. Thank you.
It's always important to maintain firm, hold strong on your values. If only Speaker Mike Johnson had an ounce of the courage and tenacity they had over at Public Square. I just want to draw a quick juxtaposition. You have Chuck Schumer in the Senate literally telling the American people, amidst a chorus of cries from the left that democracy is the most important thing, telling the American people that the People's House, who voted to basically have a trial, or I guess at least to impeach Mayorkas over what he did, his dereliction of duty, though I think that's too nice a term, his intentional destruction of this country through the southern border and the northern border, too, while we're at it, and ports of entry, you name it. He had the nerve to look the American people in the eye and at least tell them, oh, no, you're not going to get that. You're not going to see all the ways the deep state, the NGOs, we've been giving your taxpayer dollars to facilitate the mass invasion of this country. Mike Johnson still lies to us. I almost find that more insulting to our intelligence, because in the same breath that he says, oh, we need to give $100 billion to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, oh, but we're also here, look over here, look at this shiny toy. We're also going to introduce a bill that maybe has something to do with the border. It says the word border. What they don't tell you is gave $300 million to the Ukrainian border services. Yeah, every single penny of that should be clawed back the second this show ends and given to the United States Border Patrol. And I'd raise that Speaker Mike Johnson, the fact that Joe Biden has co-signed on your foreign aid bill should be a very, very large red flag. So much so that I hope you guys, the Warren Posse, pile in, call him and make sure that a Joe Biden endorsement don't mean much. You know why? Because if Joe Biden's endorsing it, that means the Chinese Communist Party is, the Mexican drug cartels, the human traffickers, the America Last globalists, probably Klaus Schwab himself. And I don't know about you, but nothing about that to me is MAGA or America First. And with that, Warren Posse, Steve will be back, of course, tomorrow. In the meantime, you can always go to my website, shesoright.co. Maybe show off your support for President Trump. You got to get the Barbie pink America First t-shirt or the keychain, anything you want, to show off your support for him, despite, what is it, 90 some odd felonies. We don't care. MAGA hat stays on. We still support Trump. Warren Posse, I will see you tomorrow.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money in our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video. Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there, do it today. Check it out.